Welcome to Whiskey Cask, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 149 for June 16th, 2008. Coming up in a few minutes.
Young whiskies are now the in thing, the coming thing. You know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. 10-year-olds have always been, that was the benchmark. And now they're moving down to 7 and 8-year-olds. And it's great fun. I mean, this Bacardi 7-year-old I'm working on, just fantastic stuff.
That's Jim McEwen of Brook Laddie, and when I talked to Jim a couple of weeks ago before the Isla Festival of Malt and Music, we talked about much more than the festival. Part two of that interview later. First, though, let's look at the news. A couple of new releases to talk about this week. Glengoyne has a new 16-year-old Shiraz cask finished single malt hitting the market. I mentioned the plans for this one when it was first announced last fall. The casks come from the Glenguinn Winery in Australia, which is owned by Lord Robin Tedder, the Baron of Glenguinn. Here's the historical connection. 100 years ago this year, Glengoyne took on the current spelling of its name after being known as Glenguinn from its construction. Robin Tedder's great-great-grandfather was the customs and excise officer at Glenguinn from 1889 to 1893. About 3,800 bottles will be available worldwide, with a suggested retail price of $120 each. Tullamore Dew is introducing a new 10-year-old version of its Irish whiskey into selected markets, including the U.S. The 10-year-old reserve is aged in both Spanish and American oak casks. In the last episode, I mentioned the Balvenie's vintage cask release for this year. Now its sister distillery has also chosen the year's vintage cask as well. Glenfiddich's vintage reserve cask was laid down in 1977 in a sherry oak cask and will go on sale this fall. I'll have more on how this cask was picked in an upcoming episode. If you visited a distillery in Scotland last year, you weren't alone. The industry's tourism initiative, Scotland Whiskey, reports slightly more than 1.2 million people toured distilleries in 2007. That's up 2.6% over the previous 3 years, and spending was up almost 18% at whiskey visitor attractions over the same period. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. Don't forget about the Laphroaig live tasting session on the web this Wednesday. Check the Laphroaig website for details. The Whiskey Guild's annual Whiskey Classic tasting is this Thursday in Morristown, New Jersey, along with the Worshipful Company of Distillers tasting in London. The Australian Malt Whiskey Tasting Championship is this Saturday in Sydney, and Milroy's of Soho hosts a single malt tasting on June 24th in London. Finally, if you're a golfer, the Templeton Rye Golf Classic Charity Tournament will be on July 11th in Iowa City, Iowa. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the Whiskey Cast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask. Become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla at laphroaig.com. It's safe to say that no distillery produces more new releases each year than Brook Laddie. While many distilleries focus on a handful of expressions, you could probably drink a different Brook Laddie each day of the month with no repeats. Back in episode 146, Jim McEwen told us about his X4 quadruple distilled spirit that was the distillery's Isla Festival bottling, but he has many more malts in the works for this year, like the new Octomore.
We do this futures program where you can invest in buying 12 bottles of new spirit. And when we decide to bottle it, then you will be given the first whiskey from that particular production. So we've just bottled the Octomore futures. And so it's just a case of getting it all together and getting in touch with the owners now and saying, well, do you want us to send it to you or you want to pop in and get it? There's a lot of problems with the US because you can't send alcohol by mail because of the terrorist situation. We've done it. To answer your question, we've done it and I'm happy with it. It's a beautiful spirit. It's young and vibrant and showing all the classic Hebridean symptoms of the marine notes and the peat and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I'm really pleased with it.
And it'll be out at retail eventually, right?
Probably towards the end of the year. I would imagine we'll let it go then. And generally, we've got to give the investors the first crack at it, you know. So they've got that. And I'm just bringing out, I've done a lot of new stuff this week. I've just got a new Port Charlotte 7-year-old out. I've got a glass of it sitting in front of me, so I'm just having this brilliant, brilliant afternoon nosing and tasting Port Charlotte 7. It's like, wow, you are just a beautiful thing, you know. It's just so great. So it's coming out as well. I've got a whole new line of 16-year-olds coming out from Chateau Margaux, Chateau Lafite, Chateau Lafleur, Aubryon. Oh, just the greatest wines in the world and just driving me nuts. They're so good. The colours are just so vibrant, you know. So, got that ready. And we've got the new Lynx series coming out. You know, this 14-year-old Lynx, a golf-associated thing. And this year's featured golf courses are Torrey Pines Golf Course in the States. And we've got Birkdale, Royal Birkdale in England, and Valhalla, which I believe is in the States.
Yeah, that's where the Ryder Cup's going to be played.
That's right. We're associated with that. And I've recreated a new product called Waves. We always had a Waves product out there, which was slightly peated. So I've redesigned that, a bit more peat. I put some Octomore in there. It just took off, you know. So it's like a vatting of Bruichladdich, Port Charlotte, and Octomore, and I put it into some Madeira casks, a mixture of Madeira and bourbon. So it's just great, you know. It's young, it's vibrant. It's like, there's a real passion for young whiskey now. Young whiskeys are very good. A, they're affordable. B, if the wood's good, you're going to get a good response in the spirit. And don't look for complexity and a lot of mellow, mature notes, because it's not there. But what you're getting is this, you know, like so this, the Bruichladdich or the Port Charlotte 7-year-old. I mean, it's young, it's in your face, it's like full of great young flavors. The oak is not dominating yet, so it's a fun thing to do. And you don't have to drink 25-year-old all the time, because as you know, the best age for single malt whiskey is between 15 and 20. That's the best time. So I guess about 17-year-old is when it's absolute premium. You've got the balance of wood and spirit coming together. It's got the power, you know, it gives you the finish. Whereas as whiskies get older, the wood absorbs the natural oil from the barley and the whiskey becomes drier and you don't get the big finishes and it costs you a fortune. So young whiskies are now the in thing, the coming thing. You know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. 10-year-olds have always been, that was the benchmark. And now they're moving down to 7 and 8-year-olds. And it's great fun. I mean, this Bruichladdich 7-year-old I'm working on, just fantastic. It's a fresh spring day in Islay, you know. It's got beautiful riverbank qualities about it. It's very, very clean. The oak is just starting to show. The spirit is still the main speaker. The oak is just starting to edge its way through, you know. So it's a swing in the style.
And the PC6 is out now too, right?
Oh, it's just arrived in the States. We're now on to PC7 here. PC7 gets launched shortly here. You guys have just got PC6. It scored very highly. It's got so many 90 points and above for a 6-year-old. It's great. And the tins are really funny as well. It's all the guys. Have you seen the tins?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
we've... Oh, yeah, I have. Yes, I have now. I've seen
black and white pictures of the guys on them.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful dram. So it's more or less sold out. It's sold out around the world. The only place it's not sold out is in America, because it's just arrived there. So it's the same whiskey in all the tins. You just pick up whatever tin you like to buy. So I'm now bringing out PC7. Will be launching in the fall. And we've now reached 7 years with Bruichladdich, so we've managed to bridge that gap. Remember, there was no whiskey made from 1994 until we made it in 2001. So it's been a struggle, you know. But finally, we've reached 7 years, and we haven't collapsed, you know. So it's just great. So now we've got a 7-year-old Bruichladdich coming out. So we've finally touched the void. We're across there. It's great. And the 7-year-old is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful stuff, matured 100% American oak, exclusively. So that's a lot of new stuff. You know, we're always bringing new stuff out. That's the name of our game.
Right. One of the things you and I have never talked about is the entire Murray McDavid range, because that's a whole different thing altogether.
Yes. Brilliant.
Where did that come
from? Well, Murray McDavid, the guys who owned Murray McDavid, which was namely Mark Rainier and Simon Coughlin, who are still associated with us. Mark's the CEO and Simon's runs the bottling hall. He also does a bit of company secretary style work. And Gordon Wright. Now, Gordon's pretty famous in the whiskey industry. Gordon Wright, a former of Springbank. Lovely, lovely guy. So these guys formed an independent bottling company called Murray McDavid. And it was these three guys who got together to pull in the investors to buy Bruichladdy. So when they bought Bruichladdy, when they got the investors to put the money up and we bought Bruichladdy, then it was decided we would keep the independent side of the business going, namely Murray McDavid. So now we have improved that and it's risen dramatically. We're buying some great casks. I mean, beautiful stuff. And what I do, we've got this ACE program. Instead of people call it finishing, but we don't call it finishing because finishing is negative and Bruichladdy is not negative. So it's called the ACE program. It's an additional cask evolution where we take casks from all of the distilleries in Scotland where we can. Here we can do, God, we've got everything. We've got a lot of good stuff. We've got beautiful Bunahallan, we've got Kalila, we've got McAllen, we've got Glenlivet. So what I do, I buy them if the quality is good. Ship them home to Ireland. If I like it, I just leave it as it is. If it's not up to expectation, then I will put it into a wine cask or maybe back into a bourbon cask. It could be going to Latour, Chateau Latour. It could go into Chateau Clemens, or it could go into a port cask or Pedro Jimenez or a Fino. And we just offer it slightly. It's still the same cask. Let's say it's McAllen, for example. Still McAllen, still the same age, but it's just got a different swing on it. So it's going well, because we're buying the most beautiful casks in the world. I mean, we spend a fortune on wood, because we don't use artificial colouring. We have to invest in wood, and we do. So most of our outgoing costs are into quality casks. We only fill new bourbons from Buffalo Trace, exclusively Buffalo Trace. So a lot of good quality going on.
And you've got some new releases coming out in that line too, right?
Oh, geez. There's a whole bunch of stuff. It's just took in some beautiful Bunahavan 1972 from all of those Sherry Butts. Absolutely fantastic. Wait to get my list up. Some of my list. I've got lovely, lovely parcel of Little Mill and American Oak. Now, Little Mill is dead and gone, as you well know. Never to be seen again. It's now bulldozed. One of the oldest distilleries in Scotland. And, you know, people forget, you know, everybody talks about old distilleries in the Lowlands, but Little Mill was really, really special. I've got Auchintoshan coming out. I've got Auchroyce coming out. Got Ben Nevis coming out. I've got Beaumont and beautiful bourbon casks, the Auchintoshan's in Chenin Blanc. I've got the Auchroyce and Côte Rôtie, which is a cider wine. I've got Alpenabend, 92. I've got some Ben Nevis, 99. I've got Kalila, 1990, which I put into Zinfandel casks from Ridge, California. Now that is wicked. You've got the smoke of Kalila, right? You've got a lovely smoky Kalila. You put it into the Zinfandel, the California Zinfandel, and it brings this beautiful, rich, sweet, red fruit. So it's like Beauty and the Beast. You've got this hulking Isla, peat-breathing monster, and then this really cool Californian chick. And they get together, and it's just the most amazing mouthfeel. Because all that we say to ourselves is saying, wow, this is great. I mean, I'm tasting the smoke, and I'm tasting the fruit. I've got that. I've got some nice Craig and Moore. I've got Dufftown, Glen Murray, Glen Scotia, Glen Bagley, Glen Dulling, Glen Farkless. South Auckland Farkless, I've got Glen Livet, Highland Park, Longmorn, McAllen. Great Mortlach, greatest whiskey in Scotland. From Speyside, we've got Mortlach. I've got some Tobermory, J. Jesus, how much do you want me to tell you?
Well, your recent Mortlach release is one of my favorites. I've got that one sitting on my shelf right now.
Well, you know, I used to be a whiskey blender for many, many years. I was a blender in Glasgow. I used to be a blender with Morris and Beaumont. And let me tell you something, my friend. The most sought-after single malt in the world by blenders is Mortlach. Blenders have their own classification. It's called firsts, seconds, and thirds. There's maybe a handful of casks get into that first division. A whole bunch more get into the second division, and then a right pile get into the third division. That's whiskey assessed by blenders, and they will choose from making up a blend. They'll take some out of the first, a little bit from the first, a little bit more from the second, and then they'll load it up with the not-so-good stuff from third. Top of the heap, always, Mortlach. People don't even know what a great whiskey that is. It's absolutely stunning.
What does it add to a blend that gives it that reference?
It's got power. It's not a light space side. Space is it's a muscular space side. It's got one of these whiskies where the malt quality really comes through. Sometimes the oak will dominate and you lose it all to the oak with the maltiness, and Mortlach comes through. It's well distilled. It's just beautiful. But primarily it's the maltiness that comes through. It's really, really good. And it's a wonderful release. It's the shape of the stills, it's the people who's doing it. And when you taste it, you think, my God, this is a beautiful thing. So if you can buy Mortlach anywhere, it's one of the top whiskies in the world, for sure. It's like Kleinlich. People don't talk about Kleinlich. Another great blender's favorite. You know, people always talk, I remember the old Baroda. Yeah, but the Kleinlich is just as good. So there's another whole bunch of stuff out there, you know. If I can get Kleinlich anywhere, I'll buy it. It's like Craigenmore. Craigenmore is a great, great whiskey. Glendullen's another one. If you look at that, and this is what I'm trying to do with Murray McDavid, go for the blender's choice rather than Joe Public, who knows very little about how a blend structure is made up. So what we try to do is find whiskies that blenders and myself rate and purchase them, rather than go for the regular stuff which is out there in abundance. It's the more unique ones, like Glenelgan. You know, Linkwood's always there. I mean, Linkwood and Longmorn, two of the great. I mean, next door to each other. I mean, if you want Speyside at its best, you go for Linkwood and Longmorn. So there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. So it's good. And it's also like, if you go up to Scarpa, people say, oh, Highland Park, it's just beautiful. Yeah, but it is beautiful. As is Talisker, two of the greatest malts in the world. Particularly Talisker, it's just stunning malt. Don't forget Kleinlich. Kleinlich is a bit like Bruichladdich. It doesn't have the peat. But my God, if you love island whiskey, then Kleinlich is truly, truly superb whiskey. Very, very similar to Bruichladdich. And I'm quite sure if they wanted, they could make peated malt up there, just like we're doing. We're making 12 different styles of malt here now. We're making lightly peated Bruichladdich, no peated Bruichladdich. We do medium peated Port Charlotte, which is 40 ppm. Then we do Octomore, which is 168 ppm. Plus I do triple distillation, quadruple distillation. We do a lot of organic stuff now. We're really into organics. The flavor is great. It's wildly expensive. We gotta jump through hoops to get certification. So we're doing organic. We're now, all the farmers in Ireland that grow barley or haven't been growing barley are now back growing barley. We've encouraged them to grow barley. So we're taking more barley from the island than it's been done for decades. But we don't have a malting, so we have to ship it all the way to Inverness. And this year we're shipping the peat from Isla all the way to Inverness by ferry. Our Isla barley we malted in Inverness and dried with Isla peat and shipped all the way home. That is horrendous in terms of transport. But we believe it's worth it. We want to have 100% DNA, whereby it's whiskey made with Isla malt, Isla peat, distilled in Islay, matured full-term in Islay. We want to have 100% DNA. We don't send any whiskey away in huge tankers to be stored in Glasgow to save energy or whatever. So we have lots of dreams.
Hey, how's that that stuff you did a while back with the beer barley, the old Viking barley going?
I'm maturing fantastic. It's a bucket of a barley to work with. The yield is pathetic, you know. Normally we'll get about 405 to 410 litres of alcohol from every tonne. With that one, you're lucky to get 320 litres of alcohol. Financially, it's a disaster. But in terms of the flavour of the spirit, it's really beautiful stuff. I mean, it's a killer to mash. The mash tun is like a cake that's been left in the oven too long. It just explodes over the top. You know, you're making some kind of pie, the whole thing. And it's a bugger to drain. But the quality of the spirit is very, very good. Excellent stuff. So it's maturing well in bourbon. Likewise with the organic. But the best yielding, one of the best yielding malts last year came from Rockside Farm, just to the west of us on the coast of Ireland. He produced it from a barley variety called, I told you Oxford, sorry, and that was malted, and that was the highest yielding barley, I believe, out of Scotland last year. So it shows you that why Islay had 30 distilleries, we can still produce fantastic barley. So we've got all these farmers now, even the little guys who are only doing maybe 10, 15, 20 acres, they're growing barley for us. It's great. And we've got traceability. We know each batch from each farmer. So it's really good. So it's all about traceability and trying to do the best we can.
Brooke Laddie was also one of the first distilleries to offer a whiskey school where you can live and work at the distillery for a week and get a close-up look at the process of making malts. There's a link to the Brooke Laddie website at the Whiskey Cast website. That's also where you'll find the calendar of events, the Whiskey Cast store, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2008, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.